This hour of gameplay is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
It is first up for your Wednesday morning, a late night for the boys taking in the Battle of Alberta, but it was hours well spent, no doubt, as the Edmonton Oilers taking a 3-1 series lead. Thanks again to Connor McDavid, Evander Kane, and Leon Draisaitl, a 5-3 win for the Oilers. Kurulnik and Koliakova with Dave Poulin standing by in about 40 minutes. Buster Olney on the Blue Jays offensive explosion in 15, but Carlo, once again, the story is the big three for the Oilers. Connor McDavid, 2 assists. Now the most multi-point games by any player in NHL history in their team's first 11 games of a postseason. Evander Kane has the most multi-goal games by any player in NHL history in their team's first 11 games of a postseason. And Leon Draisaitl has 3 points or more in 4 consecutive playoff games, something that has never been done in Stanley Cup playoff history. It is really hard to put into perspective that this Edmonton Oilers team in 2022 is as potent offensively as the Gretzky, Messier, Curry, Glenn Anderson years, Paul Coffey of the 1980s. It is incredible to watch night after night what these guys continue to do.
Yeah, it really is. And, I mean, as much as we marvel what they're doing, it's sure as hell exciting to watch. I never thought I'd be, you know, so intrigued to watch Edmonton Oilers games, and I don't watch it to cheer on the Edmonton Oilers. I watch it to, you know, be excited about what Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl can do for that team. And they're cooking up something magical in Edmonton right now. I tell you what, because I mean, you just look at the teams that they're having success against. They win a 7-game series against the LA Kings, and McDavid has the first round statistical performance against two of the best shutdown center icemen in the league. Well, if those two guys can't shut him down, what's a Daryl Sutter defensive juggernaut led by Markstrom, who's a Vezina candidate, gonna do to stop them? Absolutely nothing. And if those two teams can't stop Connor McDavid, who is? Who is right now? And I don't look at who's playing in net. I don't look at the team. I don't look at, you know, what the lineups look like. I look at one guy and his determination right now to will his team to success. And that's Connor McDavid, man. This guy is an absolute treat to watch. It sucks that they play at 10:30 at night because most people can't watch. Well, yesterday was close to a 10 o'clock start. But he's worth every price of admission right now to stay up and watch, because it's fun to see what he's doing. And it's not just to see what he's doing. It's fun to see that his teammates have jumped on board, because they're playing with that same type of energy right now.
And no doubt.
Up 3-1 in the series.
They are down, Calgary down 3-1. That's not a result anyone was expecting. Really, I mean, I wasn't expecting. They've got a chance, of course, in Game 5 to, you know, at least make this a more interesting series. And you go down 3-1, I think the stat is 80% of the time you win, or maybe it's 90% of the time. We'll look that up. But you mentioned Markstrom, who Vezina Trophy candidate, had a great year. He has been horrible against Edmonton this year. He has played Edmonton 8 times, has allowed 5 goals or more 7 times, which is a crazy stat for a guy of Markstrom's caliber. But it was Mike Smith's gaffe in the third period that was one of the major stories, and would be a much bigger storyline had Edmonton not rallied and won the game. Mm-hmm. So Rasmus Anderson, they're killing a penalty, is Calgary. He takes a slap shot from his own blue line, kind of a weird play that's the puck's bouncing around. And Mike Smith doesn't see it, goes right past him in the back of the net to make it 3-3 with about 10 minutes or about 9 minutes left in the third period. And that was just a shocking moment. And it evoked memories of Vesa Toskala. We talked about that earlier, of Tommy Salo, which I believe was in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And Mike Smith addressed what happened to him and how he's feeling post-game with a reporter.
Mike, obviously, give me a thought. Did you not see the puck? What happened?
I can laugh now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I don't think there's been a time in my career where I've lost a puck where I have no idea where it went. and talking to some guys after, I wasn't the only one that didn't know where it was either, so it made me feel a little bit better.
Do you remember that line? I don't know who said it, but it became a big topic of discussion in Edmonton when somebody asked Leon Draisaitl why he's so pissy.
Mm-hmm. Jim Matheson.
Man, have things changed in Edmonton.
No kidding. One game away from the Western Conference Finals. Right. No one's pissy in Edmonton.
What have things changed? And look, I mean, that's all you can do about that play right now is laugh about it because it didn't cost you, right? And it happens. Remember, when the Maple Leafs played the Tampa Bay Lightning, I was screaming and harping for about 4 or 5 straight days about shooting the puck. When you shoot the puck from anywhere on the ice, it has the chance for anything to happen. And okay, the chances of that happening are probably 1 in a million, but it happened. It happened because the puck was put into place where the goalie didn't see it, didn't expect it to come with him the way that it did, and it found a way in the net. And what I loved about it is the Edmonton Oilers used that as an opportunity to pick up their goaltender. They basically said, guys, okay, you know, we've given up a 3-0 lead. We're at home. It's, you know, Mike Smith has given up an unlucky goal. Let's not let this be our demise. Let's go out and get the win. They found a way to get that goal in regulation by Nugent Hopkins, who, you know, by the way, we talk about, you know, the play of McDavid, Draisaitl, and Evander Kane reaping the benefits of playing with those two guys. But quietly, Nugent Hopkins and Zach Hyman have had themselves quite the playoffs.
Yeah, 2 goals for Nuge.
Another big goal for Hyman.
A huge goal for Hyman, yeah. That was an early one. Power play for McDavid. Yeah, Nuge had that first goal, the Markstrom gaff, where he basically is like, hey, let's kind of handling the puck behind the net. He's like, here you go, Nuge. Take one, 1-0, about 30, 40 seconds into the game, and Nuge scored the winner in the third period. To make it 4-3 for the Oilers, and that was a huge goal. Nuge has been with the Oilers. Think about back to the Taylor Hall, Nuge, Eberle days, right? Where all three of those guys signed that, what was it, the 7-year deals worth $6 million. It was all like the three of them were all in the same contract. Nuge is the only man standing from that era. And think about the new era with Draisaitl and McDavid, right, of course, and Darnell Nurse. But an incredible display of offensive prowess from Edmonton throughout the course of this postseason. And Steve Dryden, the quizmaster, are we supposed to refer to him? I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, he's the quizmaster.
He's the quizmaster. Has a column on TSN.ca. The headline, McDavid, undoubtedly the best player ever, which is a hot take. McDavid, I think you could make a very easy argument, is the most skilled, the most talented player ever. Best player ever. I mean, Wayne Gretzky has more assists than anyone else has points in the history of the NHL. And you look at some of the statistical exploits from Gretzky, I mean, and here's the thing. You compare eras, and sure, if you put Connor McDavid back in the 1980s, right now, you transport him back, I think McDavid might have 400 points, 500 points. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it would be literally unstoppable because just couldn't keep up. I mean, it's a different era. But if you're comparing eras, Gretzky versus his contemporaries, and McDavid compared to his, I think Gretzky's the best player ever, undoubtedly. But the Quizmaster has his take. What do you make of it, Coco?
You know, it's funny you ask me this, and it's really hard for me to have any argument about Connor McDavid and not side with Connor McDavid because, you know, there's a personal bias for me. I've seen Connor grow up and develop for the last 4 years under the tutelage of Joe Quinn and Nick Quinn from Power Edge Pro. Like, I've seen the you know, what Connor McDavid is all about when you talk about, you know, evolving the game and revolutionizing the game with the skill and the speed and the reactive countering that he's so good at. And so I would choose Connor McDavid in every one of those arguments because it's really hard to compare eras when you talk about the things that Connor can do in the game today compared to what Gretzky did in his era back
or
when
Bobby
dominated.
Or Bobby Orr back in the '60s. Yes,
there's and you can these are great debates. They are, and I don't think there's a right or there's a wrong answer. But to do what Connor is doing in a game of hockey that has evolved so much when it comes to speed, skill, and competition, I don't think I could say the same thing about Gretzky back in his day based on the players, the way the game was played, and the competition around him. I mean, when Gretzky played, he was the best player in the game, and the next best guy wasn't even close.
Correct.
Maybe
Mario Lemieux was close at
okay,
time,
yes, Mario sure. Lemieux was close, but again, that was, what, a couple of years? I mean, they didn't grow up together in
no,
the game.
Gretzky was probably in the NHL, what? I think his first year was 79 or 80.
Like when McDavid
Lemieux
came
was in the
in,
mid-late 80s, yeah.
Like when McDavid came into the game, I mean, there was already Crosby, there was already Ovechkin, there was already Malkin, and now just even the player, like, we had 10 100-point guys this year. The goalies that play the game are a million times better than they were back in the day. Like, the goalies didn't go down in Wayne Gretzky's era.
This is like the argument on ESPN, J.J. Redick versus, I think it was Mad Dog, where they're talking about Bob Cousy versus Chris Paul or whatever. Oh, he's playing against firemen and plumbers, referring to Bob Cousy. And
so, again, it's not to take away from Gretzky's greatness, because what he did was great, but I think what Connor McDavid's doing in a game, in an era where the game is so much better around him, I think can't go unnoticed. And I agree with Steve Dryden. He's undoubtedly the best player ever been. In his article, he explains why. Because he's got the brain power of Gretzky. He's got the hands of Lemieux. He's got the skating of Orr. But now he's added the will of Sidney Crosby.
Ooh, and you need the will.
Look, you talk about four of the best players that ever played the game in one player.
Well, we'll talk to Dave Poulin, who won a Selke trophy in the Gretzky era in the 1980s with the Philadelphia Flyers. So he's probably the perfect guy to ask about this.
And he was quoted in that article,
Quizmaster.
Too, from
he was
the
Quizmaster. Indeed. First up is brought to you by Manscaped. Use the code 1050 for 20% off and free shipping. Just go to manscaped.com.
So when I was in health and safety protocols,
yeah,
I had myself a nice Manscaped.
Ooh, far
yes.
too much information.
Yes.
I do not
look
need
at,
to know.
Look at this. No hair anywhere, bro.
Wow. That is very alarming. I really wish you didn't show me what you just showed me. Looking at though, impressive. Impressive. We will welcome in Buster Olney from ESPN on the other side. We'll talk about the Jays' offensive outburst, 8 runs. Can you believe it? Next. It was Vladimir Guerrero Jr. who hit a bomb to left field in St. Louis. Danny Jansen had a couple of dingers in his own right. Let's welcome him in from ESPN, our friend Buster Olney. Hey, Buster.
What's going on, guys? Yeah, hopefully they'll build on that last night begin to turn this thing around and get to where we all expected them to be.
And that's exactly it, right? There's been a lot of consternation here in Toronto, as you can imagine, surrounding this team's a lot of the struggling bats. Basically everybody in their lineup, save Santiago Espinal, has, I guess, kind of been below what we expected at the beginning of the year. And I think when you look at it from a national perspective, how you cover the game for ESPN, the Blue Jays and their offense in particular, the pitching notwithstanding, which has been as good as advertised, the offense has to be one of the most disappointing units in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I think the Detroit Tigers, for me, probably would be number one in terms of where they are. They basically have a winning percentage of .333. But as someone who picked the Blue Jays to win the World Series this year, it's been a shock. As someone who watched, as you guys did, that how dominant that offense was at the end of last season, it's been a shock to see them struggle this badly this year. What are they, 25th in runs so far this year? Up and down the lineup, guys are having individual struggles. I think some of it is individual. If you look at, for example, Vladimir Guerrero's chase rate, it has jumped up significantly. He swung out of the strike zone about 28% last year. That's up to 36% this year. And it's not a surprise that opposing hitters are trying to get, or pitchers are trying to get him out on pitches out of the zone because of how great he is. And, you know, as Barry Bonds, you know, during his time in the big leagues established, look, you, if you're a great hitter and they will not throw you a strike, you got to take the walks. And that's his adjustment. But I also think, I mean, let's face it, some of the bets by the front office, they just haven't worked out. When you're talking about, you know, Matt Chapman effectively replacing Marcus Semien in the infield, for him to be as poor as he has been so far offensively has been a huge disappointment. Bo Bichette with a slow start, Teoscar Hernandez with the injury. I mean, up and down a lineup, it's a bad mix. And you know, my colleague Paul Imbecides generated some numbers which show that the Blue Jays, because they're so right-handed dominant in their lineup, they're on an historically high rate of unfavorable pitching matchups. So in other words, right-handed hitters against right-handed pitchers or left-handed hitters against left-handed pitchers. And that's roster construction, you know, that they went into this year saying, you know what, we know we're really right-handed. We'll figure out a way to do that to make it work, and so far it hasn't.
Well, I know you mentioned Matt Chapman. I think Blue Jay fans would still have Matt Chapman considering his struggles versus Marcus Semien's struggles, which is monumental right now. The guy doesn't even have a home run, and we're 40 games into the season. And I feel bad for Marcus Semien because he was so great last year. But considering the things you mentioned, and last week you made headlines on our show at least when you you know, teased us with a potential Juan Soto connection with the Blue Jays, but with their struggles and the what you just mentioned about their roster construction, are you hearing any rumblings of change that could potentially happen with the Toronto Blue Jays?
Well, and let's face it, we're in that season. You know, I talked to a general manager of a team, not the Blue Jays, yesterday, who said, "Yep, you know, you get about a third of the way into the season, and then you have to take an honest assessment of where you are." You know, I made phone calls yesterday trying to get some answers on that, you know, from Toronto folks. And what I got was not return phone calls from Blue Jays people, but people around the team. And they are wondering the same thing. You know, will there be some sort of a change in the coaching staff? Will there be some sort of a shakeup there? You know, Brian Cashman, the general manager of the Yankees, does not believe in-season changes. He just thinks, look, you go in, you do all the planning in the off season, you have your people that you invest in, that you believe in, and you stick with them. And if you veer from that, then it sends a message you don't necessarily like. There are other executives who are very different in that regard. You know, their feeling is, if we identify a problem, let's go address it. We saw the Kansas City Royals last week fire their hitting coach. I think is one source, recently had a conversation with a Toronto executive, said to me, look, at some point there needs to be change. And whether that's a change in the lineup, you know, to get more left-handed, because let's face it, Raimel Tapia has been a huge disappointment so far. Four extra base hits and 127 at bats. Something, you need to do something, because you just can't keep running out the same group for, you know, day after day after day. And getting, you know, ugly results. And they certainly have been. Nobody would have guessed that their offense would struggle for runs in the way they have so far this year.
Our guest is ESPN MLB insider Buster Olney here on First Up. And you mentioned the Yankees, Buster. Amazing start to the season. We know what Aaron Judge has been doing. Probably the AL MVP at this point in time, but a lot of injuries creeping up. LeMahieu goes down. Aroldis Chapman goes down. Giancarlo Stanton goes down. And all of a sudden, the Donaldson, Boston Red Sox.
The Donaldson situation.
Yeah, the Donaldson situation is not ideal either. A lot of bad omens circulating with the New York Yankees right now.
You know, that's the one saving grace at this moment, I think, for the Blue Jays with their slow start, is it's not too late. You know, they're seven games out in the American League East, and the Yankee team, while it's, you know, on pace to win 110 games, they've got all kinds of issues. You know, the bullpen, which has been so dominant for them this year, the other day they lost Chad Green, who has been just the absolute, you know, steady metronome for that bullpen group for years. He needs Tommy John surgery. Luis Gil, who's one of their top young minor league arms, has had some, you know, a few starts in the big leagues. He needed Tommy John surgery. He's out. Aroldis Chapman clearly has lost his mojo. Runs allowed in five straight games. He's been ejected, I think, from the closer role. Even after he comes back, they'll probably, you know, mix and match with him. So they've got some shakeup going on in their bullpen, which has been a, you know, steady for them. And it's interesting when Joey Gallo has certainly has not been good for them, but when he went out with a COVID-19 issue, all of a sudden, and that you saw how short their lineup is, all of a sudden you're thinking, man, Aaron Judge has to, like, prop up this whole group. It's pretty thin. And the Donaldson situation, you know, with the suspension and being out, COVID-19 related issue, you know, that hurts as well, because it seemed like he was starting to turn the corner offensively.
Buster, when you look at the Major League Baseball standings right now, obviously, you know, you see teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers having great seasons, and, you know, the Houston Astros have been a surprise, but are you happy to see that the LA Angels, who the Blue Jays play next after a day off today, are finally relevant in Major League Baseball?
Oh, completely, because it does look like we're finally going to get, I think, what anybody, any real baseball fan has been dreaming about, and that is Mike Trout playing in October. You know, that's what it looks like. They're 27-17 so far, game behind the Astros in the American League West. And they have that great core talent. You know, I was talking with someone yesterday who was asking the question, you know, are Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout the best 1-2 punch in baseball now? And where would they rank in baseball history? In terms of entertainment value, I don't know if they're top. Because statistically, you can make an argument that Mike Trout's start of his career is the best ever. He's probably going to end his career considered to be the greatest player of all time. And Shohei Ohtani is doing stuff we've never seen before. You know, he won the MVP last year. He hasn't been nearly as good, you know, so far this year, but he's been pretty good. And it feels like he's going to, you know, turn it around. And we know that, you know, their front office, given how well they're playing, if they have a chance to make the playoffs for only the second time in Trout's career, they'll do what they can. Mike Trout has not played in a winning postseason game in his career. Think about that.
Wow. That's crazy.
I think he's played, what, four postseason games, Trout? Which is unbelievable.
Three,
think about.
I think.
Was it three? Yeah, right. That's incredible.
And they were swept by the Orioles.
It's unbelievable. Swept by the Orioles. Wow.
One of the greatest players of all time already, but he's not even 30.
Can you imagine if his career ended today on his resume would say, playoff baseball swept by the Orioles.
Yeah, maybe they would keep him at a Cooperstown for that. You know, they would pull the old Bonds and the Clemens situation with Mike Trout just for that alone. Quickly, Buster, we have about 30 seconds. Probably not enough time for you to really delve deep. You know what? We'll give you a minute here. Give us your thoughts on the Josh Donaldson, Tim Anderson situation from this weekend.
Yeah, I thought Major League Baseball blew it. I thought Rob Manfred blew it. Step up and be a leader.
Surprise.
They should have given him, right. They should have given him more than one game. All you have to do is look at it from the perspective of Tim Anderson, right? He's playing a baseball game on Saturday, and by Sunday night, because of what Josh Donaldson did, and he said, you know, well, this is something that Tim and I joked about where I call him Jackie. It's pretty clear, while he may have been saying it, as far as Tim Anderson was concerned, it wasn't a joke. You know, the last 4 years. And so by Sunday night, you know, I heard from White Sox people that after this all happened on Saturday, you know, Tim Anderson had to address it with media. He sat out the first game of the doubleheader on Sunday. Sunday night, he's got fans chanting Jackie at him. And, you know, that word weaponized for him. Think about that. And everywhere he's going to play, not only this year, but the rest of his career, every time he goes to New York, there are going to be idiots who chant that at him. And you know what? That's just the fact that, you know, Josh and I, whatever his intent is, the fact that he touched that off, he should get more than one game.
Well said, Buster. I think you're spot on, as per usual. And as always, we appreciate you doing this for us. Really looking forward to our conversation next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, right, Buster.
Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider. Spot on with the Donaldson-Anderson situation.
Agreed.
And I think the assessment of the Toronto Blue Jays, and it's amazing how perception and narrative can change from one day to another, especially in a sport like baseball with such a long season. Maybe, you know, if they can get a good performance against the Angels this weekend, again, they have Shohei Ohtani on the mound for LA tomorrow night on the road to the Jays, so that's a tough matchup, but maybe if they can string some positive games together. That could save jobs, perhaps the coaching staff, or maybe guys avoid being traded, as some people, including Buster, have intimated as a possibility.
Yeah, I think he was also bang on about Manfred, yep, too, dropping the gun. I mean, yeah, no surprise.
Who do you dislike more, Manfred or LeBron?
It's close. That's a tough one.
They have their own, both guys have their own reasons as to why you can't stand them. But, look, I think, you know, Buster summarized it perfectly. In baseball, when you get suspended for one game, it doesn't really have that impact. You play 162 games. You know, you have to make the guys feel it when you're trying to make an example or create an example of, you know, a situation that has or that deserves, you know, better punishment. You think Josh Donaldson's really going to feel a one-game suspension?
No, but I mean, I think his reputation has taken quite the hit, and
probably
and rightfully so. I mean, this is not some shocking development with Donaldson being a less than ideal guy. I mean, there's been a lot of reports about that. I can't believe that it was 2015. It was 7 years ago. Donaldson won the MVP with the Toronto Blue Jays. It seems like decades ago now. Yeah. I don't know if it's because of the pandemic or just, I don't know, but the time is moving slowly, in a long way, but it's crazy.
The Josh Donaldson I will always remember is his time as a Blue Jay, and it was an awesome time. I mean, he was an unbelievable member of the Blue Jays. He was one of those guys that, you know, reinvigorated my fandom for the Blue Jays.
I mean, Donaldson, Batista.
Well, I mean, like, you Edwin talk about how irrelevant the Blue Jays were for 20-plus years. Donaldson comes in, and he has an MVP season, and he's just one of those guys you just grow to love because of the way he played the game. Like, how hard he played it, how tough he played it, how passionate he played it. And, you know, it just sucks that later in his career he's decided to do dumb things like this.
Yeah, Dave Poulin's going to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll get back to the Oilers and the Flames, what happened last night in the Battle of Alberta. But first, the Fill My Ride contest, your chance to win hundreds of dollars in gas money every weekday around this time. We give away the Fill My Ride keyword of the day. And when you hear the cue to call in about an hour, start dialing. The number is 416-870-1050. The first caller through wins $250 in gas money. Today's keyword is distance. Distance.
Distance. Wow. That's a perfect word for gas. I don't know about you, but last week, before I entered health and safety protocols, I filled up my tank and it was $2.13.
Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah. It's down to $1.95 now.
I was just going to say that. So that was going to be my next point. 2 days ago, I'm out driving, getting some fresh air, and I saw it was $1.93. How does it drop 20 cents?
Man, I got to get some jugs and just
fill
up right now.
It dropped 20 cents in 3 days.
Just kidding.
How do you justify that? How do you justify that?
It's a disgrace. The whole thing is a disgrace. How this is even a thing.
It's unbelievable, man.
But, you know, whatever. Can't say I'm overly surprised considering who is
20 cents in 3 days
in this
country.
Indeed. Dave Poulin in about 10 minutes, and looking forward to that because I am curious to know Dave's thoughts. Someone who played against Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux, probably grew up watching Bobby Orr. Is Connor McDavid undoubtedly the best player ever? He had two more assists last night. We'll ask Poulin in about 8 minutes' time. That's coming up. Dave Poulin in about 7 minutes for Stanley Cup playoff breakfast. I guess that's what we're calling it. Not a very catchy name. I'm going to leave it to our producer.
That's actually
Ron.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's tough.
Not the best breakfast. Yes.
Now, we're struggling in that respect. But a man who did not struggle, at least during the regular season this year, was Pascal Siakam. Congratulations to him.
Hey!
Third team All-NBA. Did you know that Pascal Siakam has more All-NBA nods than the rest of his draft class combined? Crazy stat there. That's the Ben Simmons draft, Jaylen Brown, Sabonis, I think, was in that draft class as well. So I believe that is the case, at least tied. I read that yesterday, so must be true. Karl Anthony Towns, LeBron James, Chris Paul, and Trae Young comprise the rest of the third team All-NBA. So a very deserving honor for Pascal Siakam. I think we can agree on that. And hopefully for Pascal, a deep playoff run next year for the Toronto Raptors. So we'll see how that ultimately plays out. Well, Connor McDavid in the midst of quite the playoff run himself. 25 points in 11 games. The Oilers beating up on the Calgary Flames. Once again, a 5-3 win for Edmonton. Evander Kane had two goals. We'll talk to Dave Poulin about that and get his thoughts on the Rangers tying the Carolina Hurricanes. Two games apiece as well. Poulin next on First Up. First Up rolls on here on this Wednesday morning, the morning after the Edmonton Oilers go up 3-1 on the Calgary Flames. Surprise, Connor McDavid had another huge night. 2 assists, Draisaitl, 3 assists, Evander Kane, 2 goals. And the words best player, Carlo, have been associated with Connor McDavid for a long time now. But best player ever is a new one. And we welcome in Dave Poulin. TSN hockey analyst.
It's evolving, AK. It's evolving.
Dave Poulin, TSN hockey analyst, to the conversation. What's up, Dave?
Dave?
Yeah, there it is.
Wow. I can't believe this continues to happen. This is crazy.
Well, yeah, so it's too bad. We'll get Dave, I don't know, at some point in time. But the situation with the Quizmaster, I mean, he stirred up a lot of debate, Coco, and the whole idea of being the best player ever, and I think being the best player ever is different than being the greatest player ever, right? The greatest player ever is Wayne Gretzky. It's just how it is. He has all the statistical backing, all the Stanley Cups and Conn Smythes and Hart Trophies and everything. But the best player ever, I think, is up for a better debate. And do we have Pooley back on the line, Chrissy?
Doesn't look like it.
Oh, Dave is there. All right. Dave, are you there?
Gentlemen, I'm getting up early in the morning for you after late nights. I'm here, boys.
Wow, what a trooper, man.
You're reliable, Dave.
Well, you are. Like last night, let me tell you about, I don't know, it's a little after midnight. And, you know, Edmonton had been cruising along up 3-0, then 3-2. And then someone decided to score a goal from the other end of the earth, 132 feet away from the net. And I just looked over at James and said, "We're going to be here a long time, buddy. When things like that happen, we are in for the long run. I'm going to be going straight from this game to my morning radio hit with Carlo and Aaron." Wow. And then, of course, RN8 saves the day late in the game with a big goal for Edmonton, and they get it done. But it was a crazy back-and-forth game, just like the series has been. It's been a wild series. It's, you know, it's that time of year in the NHL.
So you're in the studio. You're sitting there with Duthy Dregs. I don't know if the O-Dog was part of it last
Cheryl
night.
Cheryl Pounder part of
Cheryl
the
Cheryl Pounder.
Night,
okay.
Guys.
Okay.
Spectacularly,
love it.
Yes.
Not surprised. She does an exceptional job, no doubt. So Nuge scores to make it 4-3. Are you all like dancing and celebrating because you're going to avoid overtime? Or how is the mood in the TSN studios?
Oh, buddy. I can tell you right now what the mood is, man. It's one of those late nights and you're just like, it's dragging along. You're like, okay, let's just get this. That goal goes in. You're like, oh my God, it might be. And then when that goal gets scored by Nugent Hopkins, it's high fives everywhere. It's like, yeah, let's go.
Duthy's handing out stealth drivers to everybody in the studio, just having ourselves a time.
You have to factor in, it's not just the panel we're talking about, guys. There's a lot of people in that studio.
Right.
They were pretty big Oilers fans when that goal went in.
No kidding.
From cameramen to sound technicians to Viz guys, to EVS guys, to lighting people. I mean, there's a lot of people involved, but you know, it had the feel of a night that was going to go on, even at 3-0. And Daryl Sutter said it best after the game. He said, you know, after the first period we came in and we said we played really well, we got a chance to win this hockey game. He was down 3-0 at the time. Mm-hmm. But it had been such a strange start to the game. Markstrom gives up an absolute gift 21 seconds into the game. Pizza. So the coach's game plan, right, and the game planning for number 97, and then a game planning for number 29, and their game planning, you know, around trying to figure out how to keep the puck from going to Kane from those guys. And they go through the whole extensive game plan and spend hours doing it and breaking down video. And then your goalie steps out behind the net 21 seconds into the game and spins one off his heel right onto Ryan Nugent Hopkins' stick. And you look at each other at the bench and say, did we just really game plan for 48 hours and that happened? Like, is that possible that we're giving the other team a 1-0 lead? And,
you know, and then Edmonton was getting the breaks early, but they were taking advantage of them. And on the second goal with Hyman in front of the net, you could see Tanev's shoulder, just huge issues. He had no strength in the shoulder. Now, he's missed the entire series, came back to play last night and played 20 minutes very well, and even came back after this situation. But Hyman's strength in the crease gets it done, and Hyman has been terrific, guys, just terrific. In a secondary role, because everyone's talking about Connor McDavid, Hyman has been really good in the playoffs and, you know, just battled, and that was his seventh goal last night and just been a factor. And even on the winning goal, he was a big factor down below the goal line, an enormous factor. Doesn't get a point on the play, but on the second RNH goal, he's the one that keeps the play going in the offensive zone. And, you know, all that's happening, and Calgary's down 3-0, but I think Daryl Sutter did say it best, that we're still in this hockey game, and they came back and made it a game.
Yeah, if only Zach Hyman would have got one more shot on net, would have made a lot of people happy with his over 2.5 shot props. But, it is
I don't
what
know
it
how
is.
You keep track of all that stuff. And I've had this conversation with you guys before. Some nights I'd walk in my own locker room and look around and say, no way I'm betting on these guys. Yeah, and that was my own kidding. Team.
Well, let's further this conversation. What do you say about Connor McDavid, and how do you stop him? I mean, I know you were quoted in the great article that the Quizmaster shared yesterday about Connor McDavid undoubtedly being the best player of all time. But with the mission that he's on right now and the level that he's playing at, how do you stop him?
Well, we're watching something special. There's no question about it. And when you're doing a seven-game series and you're building hits between days and, you know, before shows and after shows, it's easy to run out of superlatives to define him. And, you know, I laughed because I went back and read that article I wrote last year, kind of early in my writing career, when I reached out to a whole bunch of different people in the NHL at all levels, not just people in the NHL, but you know, people in the game at all different levels, and asked them in a word to describe Connor McDavid. And first of all, the words I got back were spectacular, and they weren't just one word. Somebody would say, well, I've got to give you three. I've got to give you four. Mm-hmm. And I just laughed. But the words were, I mean, a full range, and a lot of them dealt with otherworldly, which I thought was interesting. And this is from players as well, current players who, you know, don't readily admit that someone else is really good that they have to play against all the time. And I think the Quizmaster has put it really well with Connor McDavid, because he calls him the most highly evolved player, in that his abilities are the most highly evolved. And then when you take that player and you watch him right in front of you go to a different level, and that's what's happened this year in the playoffs. I mean, he's led the league in hits, led the team in hits a couple of nights, and, you know, 25 points he now has in 11 games.
11 games.
And every time he touches the puck, you, just as a casual observer with no investment in the game, slide up to the front of your seat because you think something's going to happen. And the guys, his teammates on the bench are the exact same way. I had the good fortune and the good challenge of playing against both Gretzky and Lemieux in their absolute prime. So I saw Gretz in the finals in 85 and 87, and I saw Mario three times in the playoffs, and when he was just getting really going in 89, we beat them. And then in 91 and 92 in his cup years, I lost to him in the conference finals. So I saw them at their best late in playoff series when they were their best. And this is different, and the Quizmaster and I talk long and hard about, you know, this part of it, because I said you can't call him the greatest because he hasn't won, and the greatest find a way to win, and they do it over time. And I think his wording when he went back to saying he was the best, because we've agreed he's the most highly evolved, and he is playing his best. And so when that happens, you're looking at a different player. And I think that's what we're looking at right now with Connor McDavid, who has just been able to elevate to a different level. And through that LA series, he did it. And that's what you need from your best players, guys. Your best players can't do it during the regular season and then not find a way to single-handedly win a hockey game. And I think single-handedly, Connor McDavid, through parts of these playoffs, has now, granted, he plays with good players. I get that. Leon Draisaitl is a true superstar. and so he's got.
He also carries. He also carries a lot of players too.
He absolutely does. And we're back to the Sidney Crosby conversation. You know, you think of guys over the years, you know, Chris Kunitz and a Brian Rust and a Jake Gensel, who were either free agents or late round draft picks, or we didn't know very much about, and all of a sudden they are star players in the National Hockey League when they're playing with Sidney Crosby, and that's Connor McDavid. I mean, and no one's doubting what Leon Draisaitl is, but you know, all you're saying is right now, the most highly evolved player in the game is playing the best that he's ever played, and it's really fun to watch on a nightly basis.
Our guest is TSN hockey analyst Dave Poole, and you make a really good point about McDavid kind of propping guys up, and I think undoubtedly the number one beneficiary of that is Evander Kane, who scored twice last night, has 12 goals, Dave, in 11 games in this postseason, tied for the most by any player in the first 11 games of a postseason in the last 30 years. Johan Franzen had 12 in 11 back in 2008, and Joe Sakic in 1996 with Colorado. This story is far from written as far as the Edmonton Oilers and how things are going to go, but Evander Kane, each and every night, has to be making himself more and more money as a pending unrestricted free agent. How do you think that situation plays itself out?
Well, let me take you back to the start, because in late January, Brian Mudrick and I had split games in Montreal, I think a Thursday and a Sunday. So we stayed in Montreal and we went to his first game as an Edmonton Oiler on Saturday night. And so, you know, we're eating popcorn in the stands watching Evander Kane play. And I really questioned that first night. You know, I had my doubts about the signing, and I questioned where he would fit with Connor McDavid, because they both want to carry the puck through the neutral zone. And Kane really didn't know where to go that night. I think he scored a goal, but it was, you know, a rebound or something. And he didn't know where to go on the ice. And I thought, I wonder if this is going to work. Well, it's worked. But they haven't just played him with McDavid through the last half of the season. He's been up and down the lineup. And he can fill a role that everyone thinks is an easy role to fill. You're a big, strong guy. You can skate. You go to the net with your stick on the ice. You can score goals. Well, they thought Nick Ritchie could do that in Toronto, right, playing with great players. And he couldn't. It's not an easy role. It's a timing role. It's an instinct role. It's a giving up the puck, and it's doing what you have to do on that shift to supplement or complement what Connor McDavid is doing. And right now he's able to do it. And, you know, it's funny, if I were advising, which I'm clearly not, Evander Kane, I would say stay in Edmonton regardless of what the situation is, you know, and take less money, do whatever. That's not the way it works. I understand that. But he's in a place that he fits, that he knows he fits, where it's been really good for him for 3 or 4 months. And so my long-term advice would be, if you know something works and you also know that a few other places haven't worked, then I would take that into consideration.
Another pending unrestricted free agent this offseason, Dave, is Nazem Kadri, coming off a hat trick right in the face of all the racial comments he received on social media and otherwise, which was incredible to see. You were part of the Toronto Maple Leafs executive brass when Toronto drafted Nazem Kadri. I know you were part of some of the trials and tribulations early on in his career with the Toronto Marlies and with the Toronto Maple Leafs. To see what Kadri has become and the way he responded both on and off the ice following Game 4, what was your reaction, Dave?
Well, let's start off the ice. There's absolutely no place in our world, in the sport, in the game, and with Nazem Kadri for what went on after that incident with Jordan Binnington. There's no place in the game for it. The social media, all that stuff. It was disappointing. It was angering. It was frustrating for someone that's been in the sport his whole life to see people that would follow go to those extents. And so that's number one. I mean, that there's no place in our world, let alone in our sport. And really, really disappointing to watch that happen and to watch it go. To Nazem's credit, he responded on the ice, and he answered the way he could only answer, and that was on the ice. And he became a huge story in the game, not just for the actions directed at him by St. Louis, which surprised me, because St. Louis is a veteran team, guys. And, you know, I thought they would get past that and focus on the game because of what they've been through as a team and because of the veterans of that locker room. They weren't able to. And, you know, they lost their goaltender, and maybe they know that they're not going anywhere without their goaltender, but they couldn't keep it in control at the most critical moments. And that surprised me. And I still don't, you know, I'm not sure St. Louis is done, but that was a winnable game. And they let the actions the game before get the better of them. And they, you can't carry over in a playoff series. You know, and I've been in a playoff series where we lost, you know, our best player through a, you know, a questionable hit early in the series. You just have to get past it. You can't linger on it. You can't, you know, hang with it. And you know, he came out and he responded in every way a hockey player wants to respond. And it was impressive to see the growth, you know, of that player. I mean, Nazem is 31 years old now, and far removed from the 18 and 19 year old that I dealt with back, you know, with the Marlies. So, you know, and you know, there have to be positives that come out of it somehow in terms of recognition that this simply can't happen.
Yeah, good on Naz. I mean, you let the play do the talking, and he did it in the best way possible to, you know, in his response. But do you think the Blues maybe need some advice from the Florida Panthers and have a late night at a certain establishment till 3 a.m. in the morning?
Allegedly.
Baffling. Yeah, baffling, and who knows where stories go in that extent. But
How much do you really believe that, Pooley? I mean, there's no way that you think the players that were actually playing were doing that.
Well, you know, I believe it was an afternoon radio show that broke it and said it was an anonymous source, but a very trusted anonymous source.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, I think the story there is Tampa. And Tampa, you know, there would have been absolutely no shame or embarrassment or probably questions asked had they lost a seventh game to the Toronto Maple Leafs. But when they get through that, and they really got through it in both games six and seven, when they get through that, they look at each other and say, wow, you know.
We're here again.
We just beat one of the best teams in the NHL. And now we are playing the number one team in the NHL through the regular season, but we think we can beat them. Then what happens? And right when the series started, it was the Colton goal from Kucherov in game two that changes that entire series. And, you know, Tampa going home 2-0. But I said to the guys, you know, I think I said to Drake, listen, they're going back to back now. If they get through this series in four games and they get an 8 or 9 day rest, they're going to be the cup favorite without a question. And we talked about whether a rest would hurt, and it would hurt some teams. It doesn't hurt Tampa at this point, guys.
Nope.
Mentally and physically, you couldn't draw it up any better. And they're going to watch Carolina and the Rangers now, you know, and they're going to watch this. So they've got at least another 6 days off in a worst case scenario. And so they're going to have a full week. That team can handle it. And they're going to be really tough. They're going to be rested fresh. They may have Brayden Point back. So I think more than the disappointment of Florida, it's what we're watching in Tampa is truly special.
Dave, thank you for doing this. I know you've got another interview to get to, so we'll let you go. Next week, you got to tell us the time when Nazem Kadri parked in your parking spot when you were with the Marlies, okay?
Those are long removed.
I love that story. Removed. That's a great story. Next week.
That becomes lore now, guys. We leave Nazem alone now. That becomes lore.
All right. Done. Thank you, Dave.
Enjoy your day. Enjoy the hockey.
All right, you too. That's our hockey analyst, Dave Poulin, and I love the stories. And you think about how far Nazem Kadri has come, right? He's, I think, a year younger than I am. And when I was at Western, Kadri was playing with the London Knights. And you used to see him around all the time, and you knew he was going to be a star. I think he was, what, number 7 overall pick by the Leafs, something like that. And, you know, he was a big shot in London. And all these years later, the guy is on the biggest stage, scoring a hat trick for Colorado in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and he and the Avs have a chance to close out the St. Louis Blues tonight at home. Big favorites could factor into our dump and chase segment a little bit later this afternoon, presented by TSN Edge. It will. That's a big tease right there. And again, Sergeant Spread, that's me, on fire. 3 for 3 on our FanDuel best bets
Giddy
last
up.
Night. And we'll keep it rolling today as I have been diligently preparing for that. I've got one pick in the bag. I'm working on two others, and we'll see what I'm able to come to as the day goes on. Leo Routens from the NBA on TSN. We'll get to him in about 35 minutes or so. Team Canada, the national team, the roster released yesterday. A number of big names, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Dylan Brooks, amongst others. There's a couple names not on the list that were somewhat surprising. We'll get to that with Leo again in about 35 minutes. And what's most fascinating about the list is that it represents a three-year commitment from the players who are on there. So, again, you'll have SGA and Jamal Murray and Lou Dort, amongst others, all committed for at least 3 years to the national team. So, hopefully they don't lose to the Czech Republic again like they did the last time they tried to qualify for the Olympics. The third hour of First Up coming up next.
This hour of gameplay is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.